I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. It is my desire tonight to honor God in this message. God is interested in one thing, and that is our response to His Word. Jesus gave a parable. Parable is a story, an illustration, if you would, of a truth. It is not a false story. It is a true illustration of a truth. It is an example of a truth. And in the Word of God, right here, we have an illustration, a parable that Jesus gave of a truth. He gave it earlier in the chapter, but in verse 18, He begins to interpret or analyze what He said and tell those who are closest to Him what He meant. You see, everybody can't understand the words of Jesus. Everybody can't receive what God is saying. You will find only those that are close to Him and take the time to discipline their lives to get close to Him really have an understanding of what the Word of God is all about. And if you don't understand it, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. But I want to tell you some things tonight. I want to tell you why some of you church members can go to church all your life and ministries all your life and it not do you a bit of good. It is a frustrating fact that for the majority of our people in our churches, it does them no good at all to go to church. Some of you have been going for years. Some of you have been going to ministries and conferences and seminars for years, and you have no more victory tonight than you've ever had any other time in your life. You are the same. There's been no growth in your life. And week after week, as I deal with people, I walk away from catastrophes. I mean shambles for lives. And I'm not talking about in the lives of lost people. I'm talking about in the lives of people who claim to know God. They claim to be saved. They claim to be born again. In fact, I talked with two or three of our counselors last night who left the counseling room saying, I dealt with people and I just couldn't get through. I just did everything I know how to do and I couldn't communicate the truth to them. And I've wept with many of our counselors over the fact that they've tried to communicate to people who are supposed to be saved how to get free and it just doesn't do any good and they leave with no more victory than they came with. And some of you have been going through that for years. And it ought to be different for Christians. We ought not to be folding up under the world's pressure. We ought to live above the world's pressure. But everywhere you go, you see faithful, good, moral church members who are just unable to survive the satanic onslaught of the world. They just can't handle the battle. They can't handle the pressure. Consequently, they use the same kind of tranquilizers, same kinds of worldly helps, the same brand of beer, the same psychiatrist that the world uses, and they end up with the same ulcers. And the truth of the matter is, the only reason most people go to church is because they've just been taught that's the right thing to do. In fact, most of the church members in church tomorrow are going to be there because they just know that's what they're supposed to do. But they don't have any victory in their lives. There's no victory whatsoever. It's not real to them. Some of you listening to me, it's not real to you. That's why when people witness around you and talk about the Lord, you don't like to hear it. You want away from it. And your conversation is not of spiritual things. You don't like to hear about spiritual things. You don't like to talk about spiritual things. You like to talk about worldly things. A lot of idle chatter goes on after church and between church, between Sunday school and church. You want to hear some idle chatter? Walk out into your halls tomorrow of your church between Sunday school and church. In fact, walk into some of your Sunday school classes. They want to talk about things that are real to them. Things they understand. And the only thing they understand are worldly things. Why then, with all the church going in this country, and there are millions of people that go to church, why then, with all that church attendance, are our schools and our government and our lives in the condition that they are in? Why is there so much defeat in so many lives? Jesus tells us in this parable, verse 18, it says, "Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and immediately with joy receives it. Yet he hath not root in him, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this age and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, a lot of people call this the parable of the sower, but it is not the parable of the sower. It is hardly mentioned throughout the verse, throughout the scripture, throughout the passage. It's not the sower, it's not the parable of the seed either, because that is not the main topic. The main character in the story is the soil. And Jesus said this. He said, the kingdom of God is kind of like this. The Holy Spirit takes, that's the sower, takes the seed, that's the word of God. And the seed is good, and the sower is the best, that's the Holy Spirit. There's nothing wrong with the sower, and there's nothing wrong with the seed, the word of God. There's nothing wrong with those two elements. So if there's nothing wrong with those two elements, why is the gospel such a miserable failure in so many lives? Why do so many receive it supposedly to end up the same old way they've always been? Well, Jesus reveals in this passage that the fate of the Word of God is not dependent upon the preacher or the sower or even the seed. The fate of the Word of God is dependent upon the listener, the hearer. And Jesus says tonight the difference between defeat and victory in your life in this place will be whether you react to the Word of God properly. You see, most people today are not convinced of the importance of the Word of God being received right. Now, many of your lives are empty tonight because you've heard so much truth, but you've not received the Word of God right. And as long as the sower, the Holy Spirit, is sowing the word through the anointing of the preaching, and the word is being preached, God is going to make sure that it is applied to hearts. And that's comforting to me, because a lot of times when I preach, I fall flat on my face. But if I preach the word of God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God through his word will take it and touch your life. If you use the word of God, there'll still be fruit. But for some reason, we like to blame the preacher today. Man, if our churches aren't alive, you know who we blame? First one we blame is the preacher. We always want to pick on the preacher. If he's too loud, we say he's too loud. If he's too soft, we say he's too soft. If he weeps, we say he's too emotional. If he doesn't weep at all, we say, well, he's not emotional enough. There's something wrong with the preacher. But for those preachers who are preaching the Word of God, it's not them. Jesus said it's not their responsibility. Now, you know what I see today, and I hear it all the time, and it disgusts me. A lot of people say, well, if we just had this kind of preaching all the time over here, or this kind of preaching all the time over here, or if we just had that kind of evangelist or that kind of teacher, then, boy, we could really have a moving of God. Like the rich man in hell who looked up and lifted up his eyes to Abraham. He said, please send somebody to my five brothers. They're lost. I don't want them to come to this terrible pit called hell. Abraham said, they've got Moses and the prophets. They don't need anybody else. They've got the preachers. They've got the word. And the rich man in hell said, oh, send Lazarus from the dead. Send someone from the dead. You don't know those preachers. They're just not good preachers. If you just had someone raised from the dead and go to preach to them, then they'd get right. Then they'd repent. But God said they won't. That sounds logical. Some of you think you bring the right preacher in here on Friday and Saturday night, you could really have a moving of God. No, the Word of God is what moves people, not the preacher. And there are far too many who have been moved, by the way, in the wrong way, by the preacher to walk aisles and get saved, who never got saved. Never got born again. I wonder if we could bring someone in here tonight that we'd raised from the dead, everybody knew was dead, and get them up here to preach to a lot of you, you'd think, boy, I'd really listen to that. If I could see someone from the dead to come back and tell me about Jesus and the cross and the blood and hell and heaven, boy, I'd really be convinced of the gospel. But God said you wouldn't. Not if you will not believe the simple teaching and the preaching from the Word of God, from the preacher of God. You wouldn't believe someone if they were raised from the dead. You see, we don't know how calloused we are. We don't know how hard we are. We had a great moving of God at camp this week. I mean, someone came up and we had about 150-something people there. And someone said, well, how many decisions did you have? I said, about 150-something. Nobody left without making a decision. And I'll tell you something else. Nobody's going to leave here tonight without making a decision. We had a mighty visitation of God. I wish he wouldn't have just visited. I wish he'd just stayed. We don't need a visitation. We need God to come and camp on this place. And when we learn how to act and receive the word of God and obey what God gives us, God's going to stay here a while. But he will not stay if we love our sins. He will not stay if we want to hold on to our very lives, if we want to reject and refuse the word of God when it is preached. God said it's not the problem with the seed or the sower. He said the problem is with the heart. Jesus said the reason there is no victory in most lives is because they are not responding nor receiving the word of God. Your heart is what the soil is. And here's the picture. The Holy Spirit comes along and drops the word of God into your heart. And your heart and the condition of your heart, the condition of your soil determines how much good the word of God does when it goes in. And then there are four types listed here. One, he says, is a stony heart or a stony soil. It shuts out the word of God. As a farmer went down and sowed seed into the garden, he would drop some seed between the furrows on that hard part that got hard like pavement as he walked back and forth over it year after year. And some of that seed would fall on that hard ground. But the seed would just lay there on the top because the soil was so hard, and the birds would come along and they would snatch it up and steal away that truth that was dropped. Some of you shut out the word of God. You're convinced that it's not for you. And the birds, the demons of hell, come and snatch those truths away before you can try to apply them to your life. Read verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now listen, Satan has the ability tonight to come into your mind and your heart and steal away the word of God that's given to you tonight. He has that right. He has that position. And any time the word of God is preached, I mean any time, the word of God is preached in power with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the word of God goes out, I don't care what the sermon's on, you'll get something out of it. Amen. Heard a sermon last night, those of you who were here, on being saved, the three signs of being born again. I didn't preach it. God told me to have this other guy in, and we had him in, and he preached, and just that very simple message on salvation ministered to my heart. We had 13 people come forward to give their lives to Christ as a result of it last night. Many, many others came forward and got right with God. I don't care who it is. When God speaks His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't care what the topic is, God will speak to your heart if you will listen. But some of you are very selective. Oh, there's a nice little spiritual piece of information. I like that. Oh, there's something about loving your brother. I really like that. Oh, there's something about conviction. Hold on to that, would you? Oh, I'll take a miracle. I'll take a healing. But hold on to that part about repentance. I don't want to hear that. Let me out of here, man. I got to get gone. No relevance. And that's why you can sit through most church services and be thinking about everything in the world. I wish you could see what your preachers see when they have to preach to you on Sunday morning. You quit wondering why they preach the way they preach. Some of you looking at your watch, stretching and yawning, and looking over at Sister Sally, wondering where she got that ugly dress, or griping about the choir, or picking your nose. Everything in the world going on except what's supposed to be going on. I got news for you. No matter what's said, it's not going to be welcome or received by some people. They don't want it. Because they've got a hard heart. It's insignificant to them. And offers no help for their daily life whatsoever. There is no application. It's just ritual. Does them no good. Some of you came in here tonight. I mean, you are here tonight with your mind made up that you are not going to obey God. You're going to hold on to your sin. You are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Why do you always resist the Holy Spirit? You'll get nothing from God. You know what causes you to do that? Arrogance. Pride. And the Bible says God knoweth the proud afar off. God will not let the proud near Him. He won't let them get close. He stands far away from them. Your attitude is, there's nothing I need. I'm okay. I've got my stuff. I'm having a good time. I'm just fine. Tickle my ears. And the Bible says there's a way that seems right to man, but the ends thereof are death and destruction. You're comfortable in your sin. You're afraid of the Word of God. Some of you here tonight are scared to death. That's another thing that keeps people from getting right with God and creates a hard, cold heart. I've said before, I never was real big physically like some on my staff. But I want you to know I've made some big, big people run from me. I have run people 6'5" and 250 pounds right out that door. In fact, I've chased entire congregations. Because they are afraid of the Word of God. I'll tell you why some of your parents don't want to come here. They're scared to death of the Word of God. I'll tell you why some of your preachers don't want to come here. And I'll tell you why some of them don't like this place. Because they are scared to death of truth and the Word of God. Never gotten their pulpit and cleaned their church out. The Word of God brings a fear to some people's life who don't want to submit to it, who don't want to hear it. And there are lots today that don't care about hearing it and certainly don't care about submitting to it. And the third reason is there is sin that predominantly rest in the hearts of many that makes it cold and hard. And you know tonight, if you take the Word of God, that God speaks to your heart, you'd have to do something about your sin. Quite honestly, that's why some quit coming here. They don't want to have to repent. So Satan comes along and he just snatches away the Word of God. Now let me tell you something. This music is good. It'll make you shout. But it can't change your life. I read a church bulletin yesterday about the activities they're going to have at their youth camp. They've got clowns. They've got acrobatics. They've got tumblers. They've got jugglers. They've got magicians. They've got music. They've got everything going on but the Word of God. And I guarantee you nothing substantial will happen in the lives of any of those hundreds of kids that are going to camp play. Because there's only one thing that can change lives and set the spirit free, and that is the Word of God being received. And he said the second kind of heart is a shallow heart. Starves out the Word of God. The seed lands on stony ground where there's a thin layer of dirt over the limestone, and the seed brings forth fruit immediately. But the ground is too shallow to let the roots go down and take root. And the sun hits it and it starves it. It burns it up. Here's a guy that gets saved. Man, he's on fire for Jesus. He starts winning souls. 6 months later, you can't find him with a search warrant. FBI can't find him. What happened to him? The Word of God went into his emotional, soulish attitudes and parts of his life, and the sun came up because there was no root in his life. And I'll tell you what, a lot of your commitments are just like that. And some of your salvation commitments on the basis of service are like that. A lot of times your church will need help and you'll volunteer. You don't last, you don't stick. Sometimes around here we'll need extra help in the nursery. Or in the children's church, or some physical part of the building needs attention. And someone says, I'll do it, but you don't find them. You can't find them 2 weeks later. They always come up with an excuse why they just can't get around to it. Shallowness. Can't keep the vows. Surface commitments. Some of you tonight are shallow. Why? I'll tell you why most Christians' relationship and fellowship today is so shallow. Because we have to have hullabaloo. And the most spiritual of us have to have some kind of physical manifestation to appease our carnal sensual appetites. We've got to have the music. We've got to have the band. We've got to have the experience. Forget the Word of God. And I could bring a guy down here in a wheelchair tonight and walk down here and lay hands on him and pray for him to be healed. And his limbs could be healed and straightened and legs could be healed and straightened. And he'd jump out of that wheelchair and run around this building. And some of you would stand to your feet in applause, praising God and worshiping God for the great miracle. And you'd be impressed. But if that didn't happen, and a little girl walks down here about 7 years old and says, "Listen, God showed me I'm lost. I need to get saved," and get saved, that doesn't impress most of you. The miracle does. The healing does. Do you see the danger we're in this country? God's sick and tired of prefabricated miracles that He is not within a million miles of, and prefabricated gifts to shortcuts to spiritual maturity to the exclusion of the Word of God. And I'll tell you why we have so much extra biblical garbage going on today, and gullible Christians are falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. That is because they do not know the Word of God. Man, when Jesus walked this earth, He could heal a person by speaking. But in order for Him to save somebody, He had to give His very life's blood to win someone. But most not impressed with that getting saved as much as you are with a miracle. And I'll tell you why. It's because you live your life in the natural realm where you touch, taste, feel, see. And Paul said, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Third kind of soil suffocated the Word of God. In verse 22, look what it says. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the Word, and the cares of this age and the deceitfulness of riches choke the Word, and he becomes unfruitful. Here's some good soil now. Here's some potential for growth. Man, here's some good seed dropped into good soil, and most of you here tonight have great potential. Now, I'll tell you quite frankly, the greatest heartbreak that I experience in dealing with people is to look at those lives and to look into eyes that are oppressed by this world and demons and the flesh and controlled by the world, and to know what God could do with that life if He could but capture that mind and that heart with the Word of God. But the hearts are full of clutter. The cares of this world, that means the responsibilities of these times. And I want to be honest with you, folk. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm great at studying the Word of God for other people. But God shut me off. And He showed me, and showed me I needed to get in the Word of God, not for you, but for me. And when I began to do it, God began to revolutionize my walk with Him. And whether there ever is another manifestation of the glory of God or the anointing of God, I don't care, because I have found liberty in this book. Walking with God in a new way that I never knew. But I tell you, the responsibility of this age will try to choke it out. And I'm just like many of you. I have the same problems. I have the same hassles. I have the same business operating procedures that any carnal or secular businessman has. And I have to deal with the same people in the world you deal with. And I want you to know the weights and the pressures and the responsibilities of these times can get so heavy on our shoulders that we exclude, we put aside, we neglect, or completely forget the singular importance of being daily much in the Word of God. God convicted my heart, and I had to begin to put aside stuff and get in the Word of God. And more every day, I'm putting more responsibility on the people on my staff and letting them help me carry that load and get the responsibilities off these times divided up so I can spend even more time. You know, the more time I spend in the Word of God, the more I want to spend in the Word of God. The more I love Jesus, the more I want to love Jesus. And the Bible says, listen, not on the responsibilities of these times, but deceitful riches. Not just riches. For there is nothing wrong with riches if you are operating on biblical principles. But He says deceitful riches. Brother, they deceive you. They promise a lot, but they can't deliver. The Word of God can't soak through, because all some of you care about is this life. Boyfriends, girlfriends, money, stuff, jobs. More money, more stuff, homes, cars, jobs, money, hobbies, good times, pleasure. And I tell you tonight with a broken heart that our churches are preoccupied tonight across this land with good times, and they have strangled out and choked out the Word of God. And they must repent. You say all our churches, most of our churches, yes, are sick. Because God will deal with an individual and He'll deal with a church in much the same way. The Word of God can't seek in. They can't hear new truths. Here's an old boy. Works out here collecting garbage. Gives $100 a week to ministry like this. Some of you who make three times as much as he does don't give that much in 10 weeks. Why? The cares of his life. Jesus said, I want all. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. And there's one common denominator that I've found among Christian people who get filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and that means making Jesus the Lord of your life, and you might not know the spiritual terminology or the theological implications. As long as you are, that's all God cares about. But there's one common denominator. You know what to do? They begin to simplify their lives. That the things that have hung on to them, desires that aren't associated with their life from the desires of God, things they've wanted, stuff they'd like, begins to fall off, and they begin to get a focal point of reference in their life, and that focal point is Jesus. And everything that is not directly related to Jesus Christ and God's will for their life begins to drop off. But most lives today are cluttered. And I'll tell you one thing that they're cluttered with: religion. And hear no prophetic preaching that puts a demand upon you. And say to yourself, I'm okay, I'm born again, I go to church, I do this, I tithe of all that I receive, I fast twice a month. And you're just as empty and rotten spiritually as is that publican who came and knelt by that sinner. And you need to change your attitude and have your heart changed and say like that sinner, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner.